Bonjour à tous. Hello, listeners of A-Seat English. Welcome back. This is Mei Li.
欢迎大家收听由一稀文化出品的老外来了。This is 翩翩。那今天呢，我和梅丽呢要给大家介绍一个超级有用的工具，用来打开你的跨国思维。
Yes, so I am currently studying international business. And in several classes, we have learned how to manage international complexity.
梅丽，那你觉得跟不同文化的人打交道特别关键的点是什么呢？
I think what's very important when conducting business with other cultures is that we need to know about their values in order to better understand the way they think and do business.
知己知彼，要了解对方的 values, 价值观念。那我们今天要给大家讲的这个工具呢，也是梅丽法国大学的一个国际商业课上给教的哈。
Yes, and one of the tools we learned, which I thought was very interesting, is called the Hofstede Cultural Dimension Theory. Have you heard of it before, 翩翩？
对，这个我听过，是听梅丽讲的。Hofstede Cultural Dimension Theory 就是霍夫斯泰德文化维度理论，它其实是一个衡量跨文化价值观最广泛应用的一个框架哈，就这个 Hofstede文化维度真的超级有趣并且超级有用。
Yes, exactly. Like the Hofstede Cultural Dimensions Theory was developed by Gert Hofstede, who created this framework, which is used to understand the differences in culture across countries.
对，这个霍夫斯泰德文化维度理论呢是非常非常有名的哈，它被应用的非常的广泛，小到做生意啊，然后大到这个搞外交啊，都会参考这个理论。
Yes, the Hofstede cultural dimensions are widely used to understand etiquette and facilitate communication across cultures in areas ranging from business to diplomacy.
对，这个理论呢是帮助人了解不同国家、不同文化的人群啊、礼仪啊、规矩啊，以及背后的一个原因，真的是很重要哈，同时也非常的有趣。
Yes, like you said, it's really interesting, and it is of course important to note that this is not 100% accurate because everyone is different.
当然了，没有任何一个理论是 100% accurate, 但是呢，可以了解一个大概哈，就已经很有用了。
Yes, and however, of course, it shows the general trends of certain cultures compared to others.
那我们今天呢，就来看一下这六个文化维度。那咱们粉丝当中呢，有很多是做外贸的，还有在外企工作的，还有同声传译，以及一些产品经理。那么在进行跨文化交流的时候，以及设计跨文化领域的产品的时候呢，那是很需要理解当地的文化以及使用习惯的哈。希望今天这个播客呢，能够真正的帮大家打开国际交往的有效路径。
So now, let's look at each of these different dimensions more specifically.
霍夫斯泰德文化维度理论，第一个文化维度是什么呢？
So the first one is power distance.
权力距离。具体是指什么呢？
So this is the difference between the powerful and less powerful members in the organization.
其实呢，就是指人们对于一个组织当中权力分配不平等这种情况的一个接受程度哈。那梅丽能不能再说的具体一点？
So for example, societies with high power distance accept hierarchies where everyone has a place in the ranking.
Exactly. Societies with high power distance, 权力距离指数比较高的这种社会呢，它是比较能够接受等级这个概念的。也就是说 ,everyone has a place in the ranking. 大家对于等级分明这件事情是比较接受的哈。
Yeah, and the boss makes final decisions and the employees follow instructions.
对，谋在于众，断在于读。那老板呢做决定， employees 员工们呢来 follow instructions 听从指示哈，这是在权力距离指数比较高的一个社会当中的一个现象。
Yes, so this is in societies with high power distance.
其实呢，权力距离指数有一个得分哈，得分界定为0到100分，比如说给中国的得分呢就是80分，相当高了哈。那其实这个亚洲、非洲、东欧、中东等集体主义文化的国家呢，其实得分都是比较高的，都属于这种权力距离指数比较高的社会。
Yeah, and societies with low power distance have an equal distribution in power.
Exactly. 那权力距离指数比较低的社会呢，就觉得大家都是平等的哈。
Yeah, and so in this case, employees are much more likely to be asked for their input in decisions. So everyone has a say in final decisions.
对，在权力距离指数比较低的社会呢，人人都觉得每个人都拥有同等的权利。这个品级制度哈，就比如说这个总统啊，或者说企业的老总啊，跟普通的员工呢，只是角色的不平等，而不是权力的不平等。而且觉得上级都是可以靠近的哈，就是跟我一样的人。
Yes, and so, for example, some Nordic countries have very low power distance index, such as Germany, for example.
对，北欧的一些国家呢，这个权力距离指数就很低。那中国得分是80分，那其他几个主要国家得分分别是多少呢？
So for example, the highest is Malaysia with 104 points.
最高的是马来西亚104分。
And next would be the Philippines with 94 points.
菲律宾94分。
And Russia with 93 points.
俄罗斯93分。法国呢？
France is at 68 points.
美国呢?
And the United States with 40 points. And next one is Germany with 35 points.
德国35分。
And the United Kingdom with 35 points as well.
英国35分。
And Sweden with 31.
瑞典31分。
And New Zealand with 22.
新西兰22分。
And the lowest point is Austria with 11 points.
奥地利11分。其实刚才我们也说了哈，集体主义文化的国家得分都比较高。那像北欧啊、北美啊、澳洲啊，这种信奉个人主义的这种国家呢，整体社会对于权力不平等的容忍度就比较低哈。那么集体主义和个人主义呢，其实就是我们今天要讲的第二个文化维度。
Yes, so this would be individualism versus collectivism.
就是说社会关注的是个人利益还是集体利益。
Yeah, so individualistic societies focus on individual rights and focus on the self and immediate family's needs.
个人主义社会呢，个人只需要照顾自己还有他们的直系家庭， focus on the self and immediate family's needs.
And so it would be like,I do this, I achieve this, etc.
Yeah, 个人主义社会更多的是 me culture, 对吧？就是我文化。典型的国家呢，是英国呀、法国呀、德国呀、美国，还有澳大利亚。那么这种文化之下的这种具体表现包括，比如说个性非常独立，然后再一个就是注重隐私还有自由，再一个呢，就是权威媒体呢，是他们主要的一个信息来源，然后重视这种产品的品牌，更倾向于那种直接沟通，这是个人主义社会的一个特点哈。
For collectivist cultures, they focus more on relationships and loyalty rather than individual people.
那集体主义社会呢，更关注于 relationships and loyalty, 关系以及忠诚。那么在这种文化框架当中呢，人们期望自己的亲属啊，或者其他成员能够相互照顾。
So for example, Korea, Japan,Thailand and Singapore, as well as China.
Exactly. 那么在集体主义社会的这种文化之下的具体表现呢，包括比如说大家都是相互依存的，然后比较重视和谐，然后比较要面子，乐于分享，然后强调一致性，对吧？然后还重视这个社交网络上的一些信息，愿意花时间花精力来投资关系，然后重视公司的品牌，更倾向于间接的沟通。
So it's definitely more of a we culture.
Yeah, 集体主义社会更多的是 we culture, 我们文化。那么接下来我们要讲的第三个维度是什么呢？
So now let's talk about uncertainty avoidance.
不确定性规避，这是指什么呢？
So this is talking about society's tolerance for uncertainty and ambiguity. So how scared are people about the unknown and the risk that they take?
对，就是社会成员对于不确定性 uncertainty 以及模糊性他感到不舒服的这个程度，我们具体来说说吧。
So for example, high uncertainty avoidance cultures don't feel very comfortable with a lot of risk taking and also unknown situations. So they follow strict rules and have regulations.
Exactly. 这种高不确性规避的国家呢，对于不确定的情况以及要冒风险这件事情是感到很不舒服的。所以呢，一般他们都会保持严格的行为准则，然后有那种 rules, 啊，还有这个 regulations,然后他不容忍非正统的这种行为和思想哈。
So for example, the Japanese prepare themselves for any uncertain situations.
Exactly.
So for example, Japan, Germany, Greece, and Russia.
嗯哼，典型的国家呢是日本呐、德国、希腊以及俄罗斯哈。那这种文化下的具体表现包括哪一些呢？比如说这个内容要求清晰、有结构。而且呢要求这个非常强调准时性。再一个呢他们是属于过程导向，对于过程非常的严苛。然后再一个呢就是接纳创新的过程很缓慢。然后比如说他们做广告的话是偏向于比较严肃的这种内容哈。然后对于非正统行为的这个容忍度呢是比较低的。
So the opposite side would be low uncertainty avoidance cultures where they accept and feel uncomfortable in situations that are not very organized and with unstable and often changing environments. They try to have as few rules as possible.
对，低不确定性规避的这种国家呢，会保持一种更为宽松的态度啊，就是说没有那么多的规则，相信实践是比原则更重要的。
Exactly. And so their adherence to laws and rules may be flexible to suit the actual situation.
有哪一些典型国家呢？
So for example, Italy, England, America, China, and Singapore.
那比如说这个意大利、英国、美国、中国、新加坡，这都属于一些低不确定性规避的一些国家。那么这种文化之下的一些具体表现包括什么呢？就是说比如说对于这个模棱两可的事情他们是不反感的。然后再一个呢就是结果导向的，不是过程导向，而是结果导向。然后再一个呢是接纳创新的过程非常非常的快。然后如果他们做广告的话呢是偏向于幽默型的。再一个呢就是他们的容忍度相对来讲比较高一些。
Yes, exactly. Very well said.
那比如说这个日本是不确定性规避程度非常高的一个社会。那么所以呢就之前在日本很成功的全面质量管理取得了非常非常大的成功在日本国内哈。但是同样的政策呢在美国就完全行不通。
Yes, after learning this cultural dimension, you can definitely understand this in a better way, and the whys also.
Exactly, 就学了这个文化维度之后呢我们可能就完全明白为什么是这样了哈。好，那我们来看一下下一个文化维度，文化维度四。
So the next one would be masculinity versus femininity.
就是男性化的文化还是女性化的文化。
So this is also known as gender role differentiation. So basically how the society values traditional masculine and feminine roles.
它其实指的是在这个文化当中是男性还是女性更占主导地位。
So for example, in a more masculine society, they value achievement, assertiveness,courage, strength, and competition.
男性化文化代表的这个价值观呢，就包括这个 competition, 喜欢竞争啊，追求成就啊 ,achievements, 然后自信啊，以及偏好这种物质回报。整个社会的竞争是非常激烈的。那么这个得分比较高的有哪一些国家呢？
So here, for example, Japan scores 95 points.
Wow.
And the UK and China scores 66 points. And the US scores 62 points.
日本是男性文化代表最高的一个国家95分。那英国和中国呢都是66分然后美国是62分。相对来讲这都是一些比较高的一些国家哈。那女性化文化社会呢
?So here, feminine society values more cooperation, modesty, caring for the weak, and also quality of life.
那女性化文化社会呢更关注合作呀 谦虚呀，关心弱者和生活质量哈，比如说挪威、瑞典等北欧的一些国家。
And China here is definitely much more of a masculine society where it is success driven.
中国得分是66分嘛，相对来讲是非常高的这种分数哈，所以很容易内卷。
And people, they definitely sacrifice more easily leisure and family to work.
对，大家可能会为了工作，然后牺牲一些这种休闲以及家庭的这个时间哈。
And even here, like I've noticed, for services such as the hairdresser, they're open until very, very late at night.
对，一些 service, 一些服务行业，比如说这个 hairdresser, 就是美发店，然后经常 open until late at night, 开到晚上很晚哈，的确如此。
Yeah. So, you know, Norway, or Sweden, for example, they're definitely the opposite. It's more of a feminine society where taking care of the environment is important. They work to live, and they have this do your best mentality with a high focus on well-being.
那像北欧这种女性化文化占主导的这种社会呢，更focus on well-being, 更加关注于健康幸福，然后是 work to live, 然后以及保护环境什么之类都会觉得很重要哈。那接下来呢，我们来看一下第五个文化维度。
So the next one would be long-term orientation versus short-term orientation.
那第五个文化维度呢，是看这个社会它属于长期导向还是短期导向。
So this refers to the importance of the long-term versus short-term view of success.
对，就是对于这个长期利益和短期利益的一个权衡哈。那首先我们来看一下短期利益或者说短期导向的这个文化都是什么样子的。
So for the short-term orientated societies, they focus on the near future. So they want short-term success and gratification.
短期导向的这种国家呢，更喜欢关注于这个 the near future, 就是更加近的这种未来短期的享受。They want short-term success.
And so, for example, typical countries would be the United States, Mexico, Australia.
典型的国家呢，有美国、澳大利亚，然后墨西哥，都是属于这种短期导向的一些国家哈。那么这种文化下的具体表现包括，比如说他们不喜欢存钱，更倾向于使用分期付款，然后希望更快达到结果。
And so on the opposite side, there are long-term orientated societies where they focus more on the future. So the short-term success is not so important. They focus on long-term achievements.
那长期导向的国家呢，更关注 the future, 不是 the near future, 而是 the future, 然后觉得这个 short-term success 没有那么重要，然后宣扬节俭和努力，并且呢会在教育当中为未来做准备。
So here the represented countries are like China, Japan, and also Korea.
对，典型国家就是这个中国、日本、韩国。那这种文化之下的一些具体表现呢，包括比如说非常的坚韧不拔，然后工作十分的努力，然后大家喜欢存钱，喜欢投资未来，然后呢接受就是说有一些结果是慢慢达到的。
And here China definitely has a high ability to adapt traditions easily to change conditions and perseverance in achieving results long term.
Yeah, definitely.
And so for example in the United States they're more short term orientated. So American businesses measure their performance on short term basis, driving individuals to strive for quick results in the workplace.
Yeah. 那好，我们来看一下最后一个文化维度是什么呢？
So the last one is restraint versus indulgence.
克制文化还是放纵文化？
So this is about the extent and tendency for a society to fill its desires, to do what it wants to do, and this measures the impulse and desire control of people.
Yeah.这个呢其实就是说衡量的不同文化中的这个成员他有多大的意愿去控制自己的这个欲望和冲动哈。我们首先来看一下放纵指数比较高的这种社会是什么样子的。
So for example, a high level of indulgence means that society tends to spend more money on luxury goods and they enjoy more freedom when it comes to leisure time and activities.
对，就这个放纵文化高的社会呢，人们更倾向于满足于享受生活的这个乐趣，然后喜欢把钱呢花在这个 luxury goods 奢侈品呀，然后 enjoy more freedom， 然后享受更多的这种自由，然后 leisure time 闲暇，对吧？
And so here the countries would be like Mexico, Australia, United Kingdom, and the United States.
对，这个放纵文化指数比较高的这个国家呢，有比如说墨西哥呀、澳大利亚、英国以及美国。那么他们的这个具体表现呢，包括比如说愿意满足自己的冲动和欲望，然后相对呢比较乐观。然后特别珍惜他们自己的一个闲暇时间。
So on the opposite side, in a lower level of indulgence, so in a restraint society, people tend to save money and also focus on practical needs.
就这个克制文化下，或者说禁欲文化之下呢，那人们更倾向于省钱，然后倾向于关注一个实际的需求，就是这个 practical needs， 然后并通过严格的这个社会规范呢加以调节。代表国家有哪一些呢？
So here it would be like Russia, China, South Korea.
对，比如说这个俄罗斯呀、中国、韩国都是属于这个克制文化之下的哈。那具体的表现呢是，比如说他们觉得认为放纵是错误的，然后相对来讲呢更加的悲观，也就是说对未来可能有一些做最坏的打算，然后做最坏的准备，然后再一个呢就是克制自己，然后来符合社会规范。
Yeah, they definitely believe that indulgence is wrong. So here China is considered of a more restrained society for this part, whereas the United States, for example, is much more indulgent.
Exactly. 哎，你知道吗，美丽，真的做完这个节目之后，我感觉哇哦，我的思路和眼界一下子打开了哈！我突然明白了很多很多很多事情。其实不仅仅只是这个跨文化的一些事情哈，包括我和我老公有时候拌嘴。我现在就觉得，其实可能是因为他是中国文化维度，而我一直生活在北欧。
I know. Definitely, this is something that it really opens your mind and it helps you understand so many situations.
Exactly.
It's very useful.
Exactly.
So if some of our listeners want to compare some other countries, you can use this website to compare different countries depending on their Hofstede cultural dimensions. So it's www.hofstedeinsights.com.
如果大家想要比较一些其他国家的文化，想看一下你关注的一些国家，或者说你所处的这个国家它是属于什么样的一个文化维度的话，可以去参照这个网站哈，可以去这个网站上去自己查看。那么这个网站呢在我们这个公众号一席文化的本篇推送的末尾就可以查到了。
So we hope that this was helpful and we look forward to seeing you in our next podcast.
Okay, until next time. This is Pian Pian.
And this is Mei Li. Bye.